Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino here at Tip of the Strip. Did we even say our names at the beginning of the show today? I don't even know if
we
did.
I don't know if we did.
I don't remember saying Kelly Bidley or Kelly Bidlin, so I don't think we did. Coming up.
Hey, we're here.
NFL power rankings coming up on the show, as well as Samo bombing with Mike Somich. He's got football plays. He's got more than that as well. So we'll get into that. And Phil Bobbitt. Oh, we don't want to bury the headline.
Whew.
Phil Bobbitt on F1 this weekend here in Las Vegas. Killed it last year on the show. We'll see if he can kill it again. I think I said crushed earlier.
Do you think you feel, Phil obviously he's joined us a few times, but it's not often. Do you think he feels pressure to repeat or like
100%?
Or does. He's already got, like, he's in the clubhouse with a good score already from year one.
No.
So
and the more I keep saying he crushed it last year,
it builds
we'll
the pressure.
See if he can do it again. He's feeling the pressure. I know he is. By the way, do you want a Todd Wishnev, our early college basketball play today?
Oh, yeah.
He's not as good pre-flop as he is in-game. But
well,
he's
that means he must love this then.
He's going under on the James Madison first half under. James Madison taking on Illinois of Chicago. He went under 69.
Oh, good. We're
on the first half.
Simpatico. We're on the same play.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. That game tips off in 8 minutes. Full day college basketball. Oh, I'm going to get about a million texts today. All right. So that's his play. Under 69 first half. James Madison and Illinois Chicago tipping off at the UIC Pavilion. Momentarily in just a few minutes. Nick Whalen joins us after a long time away from the show. What is this all about? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Nick joins us now, right now from his spot right there with all of his posters up. Nick is from RotoWire, SiriusXM NBA. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen, but replace the L with the number one, and that's how you find Nick. Nick, good to see you, man.
Hey, it's been way too long, guys. Great to be back on the show. Just a fantastic NBA slate in front of us to break down, but luckily we got some football to discuss as well.
Well, let's get that out of the way. It is a big four game Thursday slate. I should point that out. Yeah. You have a few props before we get to football.
Yeah, I mean, take your pick tonight, guys. If you want to flip on Pistons Hornets, if you want to flip on Timberwolves Raptors, Jazz Spurs with no Victor Wembanyama or Devin Vassell. I guess Magic Lakers qualifies as the big one tonight.
Sure.
I will say I'm passing on the Minnesota-Toronto game. Just too many moving pieces here. We don't know if Scotty Barnes is going to be back in the mix. This Minnesota team has been really difficult to trust. They're just 5-9 against the number and took two just brutal losses back-to-back last week to the Trailblazers. But I do like the Detroit Pistons tonight. I'm just taking them on the money line to win at Charlotte. Hornets should be a little bit healthier. You know, they're getting Miles Bridges back, we think. They also don't have any big men. So I do like this as a Jalen Duren spot. You can get a Jalen Duren double-double tonight at minus 120. He's coming off a 15-22 game against Chicago on Monday. Cade Cunningham's been fantastic. I would also look at a Cade Cunningham triple-double if you're feeling a little saucy tonight. This is not a good Charlotte defense. It's a team that plays up and down. Cade Cunningham already has four triple-doubles on the year. One of those came against the Hornets back on November 6th. That's up at 8-1 right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So those are my favorite plays for that game. You know, looking at Jazz Spurs, I lean under on 224. I think there's a decent chance that Jordan Clarkson is out tonight for Utah. This sounds crazy, but that actually matters a ton for this team. He's been one of their highest usage and most consistent offensive players. They're really struggling this year. Utah shooting 33%. From beyond the arc as a team. They're taking a ton of threes. They're missing a ton of threes on a nightly basis. Again, no Wembanyama, no Vassell tonight for San Antonio. They also might not have CP3 or Zach Collins. So this feels like a pretty good under spot to me, under 224.
NBA, catch the fever. Catch the non-NBA Cup fever tonight. All right, let's get to Thursday Night Football. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Nick, this is anecdotal, but within our sphere, I think I have heard 0.0 people like the Steelers tonight. Steelers are 3.5-point favorites on the road at Cleveland. We cited some trends earlier in the show. We're not really a trends show. But all of them point towards the Browns. Steelers 0-7 all time on Thursdays, 0-5 straight up under Mike Tomlin on Thursdays. The Browns 6-0 straight up in their last six Thursdays. But it's going to be inclement weather tonight. It looks like a mix of rain and snow currently. That's what it looks like. You know how weather goes. And we were sort of suggesting, I don't know, maybe there's some Justin Fields props, you know, that you might consider tonight, some DTR. How are you playing this?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up Fields. I've been toying around with some daily fantasy lineups and thought about, you know, maybe I do sneak Justin Fields in there because we, you know, we saw a Fields package at the end of last week's game, right, where he came in for the save and then slid down like a yard and a half before the first down marker. But this is one of those games where, you know, obviously the decision to go to Russell Wilson, it was the right call by Mike Tomlin. I had to eat crow on that. I didn't like it at the time, but it's worked beautifully over the last few weeks. But this is almost one of those games where you feel like Pittsburgh might be better off with Justin Fields. So I would not be surprised if they do mix him in a bit. I'm staying away from the sides in this one, guys, but I really like the under 37. I'm not really sure why it's up a half a point. I know it opened pretty low at 36.5. I don't see either team putting up points with these conditions, right? This Cleveland team, what scares me is they can't run the ball. You know, I thought if there was a spot for Nick Chubb to get going, it would have been last week against New Orleans. That was not the case. So I do think we're going to see Jameis try to throw through the snow, through the wind, through the rain. I don't think that's going to go well. What worries me is the potential for turnovers, for defensive touchdowns, specifically on the Pittsburgh side. But I think we just see a classic Mike Tomlin grind it out type of game. Like this is Steelers weather, guys. So I like the under 37 tonight. I think this feels like a, you know, maybe a 17-7 type of game, a 17-10 type of game, one way or the other. And then, you know, as far as the prop market goes, Russell Wilson under 176.5 passing yards. Again, I don't think this is a high volume day by any means for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would go under 26.5 pass attempts for Russell Wilson. Keep in mind, against a bad Baltimore secondary, he barely went over 200 yards on 36 attempts last week. And then in conjunction with that, I would look at Jaylen Warren over 9.5 rush attempts. Najee Harris over 17.5 rush attempts. Harris has gone over that number in four straight, 6 of 10 overall. Jaylen Warren's gone over 9.5 in his last four games. So again, high volume rushing day specifically on the Pittsburgh side of things. I think we get an ugly game.
Wow. A lot to sink our teeth into there, including that 37 is not low enough, according to Nick. Motor City Mike, by the way, tweeted in on this. He goes, happy Jameis Winston weather day. Not sure exactly what it looks like, being that he has spent his entire career in the South, FSU, Tampa, New Orleans. I assume it's something like, you get a pick, you get a pick, you get a pick, which could be the Tomlin Thursday elixir.
You never know. I mean, he has some off-target throws already. The wind might help push him back on target. You don't know.
Well, excellent point, Kelly.
Jameis to throw a pick tonight, guys, is minus 215.
It's ridiculous.
-250. Yeah. My God. Any other plays this weekend before we get to some awards?
Yeah, you know, this is not a week that I feel great about necessarily. I know Kelly was saying the same thing earlier in the show, and I was watching you guys yesterday. Kelly was talking about the Eagles. I'm with him on that. You know, you can get that at 2.5 right now. I do like this as a spot for Philly to stay hot, to go on the road, to grind out another win against this Rams team. I lean under on this game as well. I know the total was up over 50 earlier in the week. It's now at 49. This Eagles team, every single week, they start slowly, right? I mean, they're second to last in terms of first quarter scoring in the NFL this season. They've scored 14 total points in the first quarter on the year. And I think this could be another spot where we're kind of wondering what's going on with Jalen Hurts, what's going on with the passing game early on. And then eventually, you know, they grind out these games every single week. Like when the opponent starts to wear down at the end of the third quarter into the fourth is when we start to see that Eagles running game, you know, really take over. And I think we could see that same script play out again this week. You could argue this game needs more for the Rams. Obviously the NFC West right now is completely stacked up, and you take a loss out of division like this, and all of a sudden you could tumble to last place. But I think the Eagles keep this going. I think this Rams defense is maybe a little bit overvalued right now. I just think it's a bad matchup really on paper for the LA Rams. So they're going to need another game like Matthew Stafford had last week. I thought that was easily his best of the season against New England to hang in with this Philly team. So I like the Eagles -2.5. That's going to be one of the plays. You know, guys, I might be going back to the well on the Detroit Lions. I hate it at 7.5, but I want to sell high on Anthony Richardson. I think what everybody's forgetting with Richardson's performance last week, it's the New York Jets. It's the New York Jets. This is a defense that is coasting on reputation. It's a defense that gets worse and worse every single week. It's an offense that has not cracked 300 total yards in the last 3 weeks. Like, the bar is very low when it comes to beating the New York Jets. So I would love to see Anthony Richardson continue to progress and look like the quarterback he was last week. I just don't think that happens this week against Detroit.
Okay, let's get to some awards. You said you had a thought on MVP. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct. That is correct. And, you know, I think Josh Allen is a favorite for a reason. I would bet Josh Allen right now at plus 150. You know, don't want to stray away necessarily from Lamar, but you have to keep in mind Lamar Jackson won the award last year. We know how these things work. Not only are you, you know, kind of competing against last year's numbers if you're Lamar Jackson, but, you know, you really have to blow those out of the water to win an MVP 2 years in a row. We see this perhaps more often in the NBA where it's kind of a take your turn type of market, right? If you win one or two in a row, then it's like, all right, now it's SGA's turn. Now it's Luka Doncic's turn. We're kind of setting you aside. So I think Lamar has kind of an uphill climb. You know, Jared Goff at 6-1 is interesting to me, but his whole case, you know, is based on the Detroit Lions probably winning 15 or 16 games. I think some people won't vote for Jared Goff because he is Jared Goff and because he has the best roster around him in the NFL. Josh Allen's case to me is rock solid. He's the best player on what might be the second best team or perhaps even the first best team by the end of the year in the AFC. He's got the head-to-head win over Patrick Mahomes. I think that loss essentially knocked Mahomes out of the race. His whole case was based on the Chiefs team success. And yeah, they could still win 15 games, but the numbers just aren't going to compare for him. Allen has the numbers, and unlike Jared Goff, he doesn't have the help around him. I think that actually bolsters his case. You know, the fact that he's elevating the Khalil Shakirs and the Dawson Knoxes of the world, as long as the Bills, you know, keep running away with this division, if they can get to 13 or 14 wins, I think this is finally Josh Allen's year to take it home.
Real quick, 20 seconds. If you had to vote for coach of the year right now, or if you had to bet one, who would you bet? Mm-hmm.
I'd bet Mike Tomlin, guys. He's never won it. He's never won coach of the year. Every year I bet Mike Tomlin, and every year it comes up short. I think there's kind of a lifetime achievement element here where people are going to realize he might be the best coach in the NFL. How is he not taking home this award? It's going to be tough, I think, to beat out Dan Campbell. But this feels like the year that it's finally Mike Tomlin. I would bet it now, plus 225.
Nick, real quick, because this has been distracting me the whole segment. Is that a Jacksonville Jaguar over your right shoulder in the corner? Who is that?
That is Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. Jimmy Smith gets on the board. Love I thought it. That. I was like, that's not McCardle. Is that Smith? Thank you, Nick. F1 next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Watch app, available now, makes it easy to watch and listen to VSiN anywhere, anytime on your phone or tablet. And for a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSiN Watch app. Get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows. Easily stream video to your smart TV. Browse clips by sport. All of that there. Or use the search feature to find the specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. Biggest application that I see people using this for, older segments that you can't get from previous days of your favorite shows. VSiN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users. Check it out. Get it now. It is streamlined. Absolutely no hiccups whatsoever, which is really the main thing you ask for in these types of things. Quite frankly.
You just want stuff to work.
You just want it to work.
You just want stuff to work. Yep. Absolutely. I'm sitting over here counting. This is, I don't know what the numbers game record, but we're up to... 15 bets already given out on the show today, and we have not gotten to Phil Bobbitt or Mike Sumner.
Oh, this will absolutely be a record today.
We're going to be over 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, over 20 for sure. Phil's got a bunch.
I was going to say, Phil sent me a whole email, and I only grabbed the bets for a graphic for the main race. And if you remember Phil from last year, he's betting everything. So.
Oh, so
he's got qualifiers and everything. Yeah.
Let me read some tweets before we get to Phil here. Scott C. Moonball Unlimited today. That's all I had to say.
Drink.
James Sott. The day I get the alert that says you, Gil, or Kelly have quit social media is the day that I will care. Sorry, LeBron James. Thank you, James Sott. Rob Graham. Good morning to all my amazing friends. I just wanted to comment on the food order that Crack sent out from the UNLV game. That should be posted on the Jumbotron for every fan to see. Yes, except for the fact that it was a big misunderstanding.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I don't know why people don't want to believe that.
Twitter's such a toxic place. Somehow people came together to solve their problems.
Kind of. Crack still wasn't buying it when I told him.
He wasn't buying it.
He's like, I don't think so. Jesse, but it is a lesson in how stuff goes viral, though.
Yeah.
Once it gets out there, it's like, this is not even... Jesse Welch, I'm not exactly sure why Sean Corner's weekend material is invisible to Gilly, but his Thursday stuff has been great thus far. So at least Gil is capable of seeing that. Yeah, I don't know why. It doesn't occur to me to look after Thursdays. Jamie Leva, add Iron Mike to the arsenal of impressions at Gil's disposal. It's no to Ernest Johnson or Michael Caine, but it's solid.
I thought it was pretty good.
Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. What was the Michael? Oh, the Michael Caine was the...
I don't remember
this,
that one.
There's two things in this world I can't stand.
Oh.
Yeah, intolerance of other cultures. And the Dutch, he says. That's from Austin Powers. Game Time Jones. Gil not following LeBron on Instagram. 50-1 tickets cash early on a Thursday. Oh, please.
Oh, wait. I've got a follow-up question to this.
Zero chance I follow that dude.
I'm going to set it at 9-1. 9-1 that Gil has an Instagram.
Oh, I have Instagram.
9-1 cashes.
I'm not active on Instagram.
Yeah.
I just lurk.
Just lurk?
I'm a lurker. Paul Nelson, I like the Seahawks at the Jets next week, getting 1.5. Also think it's a great teaser candidate. Unfortunately, since the crack man likes Seattle, I'm on Arizona this week. Oh, a little hateration is what that was from Paul Nelson, I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, he destroyed it. I used crush and kill earlier. I want to use he destroyed it as well. Last year when F1 made its inaugural appearance here in Las Vegas, in the desert for the Las Vegas Grand Prix. It is here for year number two, and Phil Bobbitt from CBS Sportsline is with us. He is a motorsports handicapper. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Phil, what's happening, man?
Good morning, fellas. Listen, first, I want to thank you for having me on before Mike Somich, because that guy has such a great head of lettuce. It would be terrible.
You were saying off air that the pressure was getting to you. You lost all your hair on the break with the pressure of this?
Yeah. There's hair jokes all around.
Okay. Do you have something before the actual main event here that you wanted to share with us as a bet?
Yeah, man, we bet it all. We bet it all. And in F1, you can bet on practice and qualifying and all that stuff. So just a couple quick hits. Free practice one, that's going to be tonight. We're taking George Russell to finish in the top three and Lewis Hamilton in the top six. Those are both Mercedes drivers. The quick handicap for that is we don't think they're going to be any good this weekend. But they do like to unload fast. They like to run the soft tire, put up a quick time. They also run low fuel right out of the gate. So they're going to be at the top of the timesheets, but it's going to be fake speed. But we're going to cash these tickets anyway.
George Russell, top three. Lewis Hamilton, top six. I'm frantically typing all these, Kelly, getting it in. Okay,
I think I've got them in a whole article from Phil. Didn't send you because I'm a bad producer.
Okay. So that's tonight, right? That's practice. We're talking about practice tonight.
Not game.
Right. Practice. Okay. Anything tomorrow?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to go with a qualifying bet, winner without the big five. So that is taking all of the top end cars out of the equation. So no Mercedes, no Aston Martin, McLaren. We're taking all those guys. We're betting the back markers, and we're going with Kevin Magnussen +850 to be the best of the rest in qualifying.
What was the number on that? Plus what?
+850.
That's so what I thought
you like
said.
It's like a sprinkle.
What are the big five cars, Phil? Is Kevin driving for Prius or something? Like, how does this work?
Yeah, he's on a Segway, I believe. But it's actually a Haas car, and that's Ferrari's sister team. So we like Ferrari a lot this weekend with their elite straight line speed. They're good in the low speed corners as well. This is a good match, and Kevin's teammate, Nico Hülkenberg, is the favorite in this market. I think he's about +250. So we're getting like a huge coupon here with Kevin Magnussen. We like Hülkenberg better, but Magnussen's the plus EV move. So we're going to sprinkle that.
Okay. Here's the question I really need to ask, because I'm scouring as we're doing this. Obviously, most sports books have the main stuff. I'm even seeing some matchups in qualifying. But for instance, the ones that you just gave, where are we likely to have those markets available? What books?
Oh, and it's DraftKings. DraftKings has awesome Formula One markets. They have all these bets that we've already talked about.
As always, Kelly, we get shut out.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, let's go to the main event, man. Let's go to the Grand Prix on Saturday night, where, again, the strip will be closed till 1 in the morning, because I know that because maybe my flight arrives at 1:03 a.m., just letting you know.
Oof.
Let's get to the who's going to win it. Let's start there. What's your bet on who's going to win the F1 race this Saturday night?
Like I said earlier, we are high on Ferrari. So our win selection is going to be Charles Leclerc. You may know him as Chuck. He is 3-1 at ESPN, +285 at DraftKings. We like him to win. We like teammate Carlos Sainz to finish in the top three. That's -120 at DraftKings under podium. Listen, we love the prancing horse this weekend. The elite straight line speed, good in the low corner, low speed corners. That is their strength. The tracks that are comparable to Vegas are Monza, which is in Italy. Leclerc finished third. Sainz was fifth. The other track is Baku, which is in Azerbaijan. Leclerc, he had the pole, and then he won the race. He dominated the entire weekend. So that spells good fortune for the Ferraris. In fact, last year, when Red Bull was dominating, I mean, Max Verstappen was winning every week. Leclerc won the pole here in Vegas, finished second. You may remember that Carlos Sainz, actually, in free practice one, a manhole cover dislodged.
Yes.
Blew up his car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he had to take a new engine, which gave him a 10-place grid penalty. He qualified second, had to start 12th. He spun out on the first lap, so he went to last. He ended up finishing in sixth. These Ferraris can boogie around the strip. We like both of these guys to perform well this weekend.
Okay, so let me just say that again, because obviously these are not common names for folks. Charles Leclerc, L-E, capital C-L-E-R-C, spelled Leclerc for the Americans out there, to win it all, 3-1. Shop around, obviously. Top three, Carlos Sainz, minus 120. How about a top six or a top 10, sir?
Sure, let's go to the top six. We're going to take Max Verstappen's teammate Sergio Perez in the Red Bull. He has had just a terrible year. In fact, all year has been dominated by rumors of who's going to replace him in that car. If Max Verstappen is a rocket ship, Sergio Perez is a paper airplane. Verstappen is first in the championship, 393 points. Checo has 151. He's in eighth place. So he's just had a terrible year, but he is at home on the street circuits. This is exactly the type of track he excels at. We like him to finish the top six. Plus 200, that's at Caesars.
And then top 10, you have Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen at plus 125 each.
Yeah, we're going back to the well with the sister team of the Ferrari and these Haas wagons. These guys are just severely undervalued by the market. They've had a great year. Last year, they had that great top-end speed, but their race pace was terrible. Their tire degradation, boy, that is a tough word to say, was awful. So they were just slow in the race. But they've got that figured out this year. We really like Nico. We like Kevin. Plus money on both of these. So cash one, you got profit. Go ahead and get to the window with these fellas.
All right, matchups. I'll just run through them. Leclerc over Lando Norris at plus 110. Franco Colapinto over Liam Lawson at plus 125. And Valtteri Bottas over Lance Stroll at plus 150. And then it wouldn't be a segment with you, Phil Bobbitt, without a safety car bet. No?
Love it.
No again?
No safety car. They're not going to get us twice. Last year, the track was a brand new specimen that these drivers had to tackle. It was like glass. We're going to be putting down a lot of rubber this weekend. And plus, we've got a whole year's worth of data. I think the drivers are going to be more capable of keeping everything on the track.
Phil, you're awesome. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a great rest of your day, fellas.
You too. Phil Bobbitt, everybody. Over there at CBS Sports Line, you can follow him on Twitter at SpeedwaySteve2.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for some action? Our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. If only we had somebody on this show who knew a little something about horse racing.
If only.
If only. Hey, what do you know? Mike Somich, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at SomoBomb18 on Twitter. Watch this.
What's going on, boys?
Watch this, Mike.
Tough time in horse racing. We don't have any of the big tracks going on, and we have Aqueduct running today, but unfortunately it's sloppy. We lost our turf racing up in New York, so we got to go out to Del Mar, Churchill, a couple grade ones this weekend. We'll have an article up on VSiN.com covering that stuff.
Bam. There you go.
Boom. There you go.
Everything you need to know. Mike Somich has you covered at VSiN.com. By the way, all the plays on the show today, every host, guest, sport, all at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers as well. Mike, let us start with a rando bet. Let's start with a hockey play. I know you love your hockey. You have something tonight in the NHL.
I do, and I'm just starting to dive into it now. Like, I adore hockey. It's my favorite sport, so excited to have it back here. And I was looking through the card today. I was surprised that we could get the Minnesota Wild plus 135. They're heading into Edmonton to take on an Oilers team. This is just a bad spot for the Oilers, and they're still being priced like the Stanley Cup favorites they were at the start of the season. Right now, they're hovering right around 500 when you include overtime losses into their record. And they're taking on a Wild team that's been very good. Kasparov, maybe the best player in the NHL right now, second in points behind McKinnon. But it's all about the spot here for me. The Oilers coming back home after a three-game road trip. They played those three games in 4 days. They had one day off, and now they're playing again here. So it's a four-game set in a six-day period. That's extremely difficult, especially when you're playing a physical Wild team who has had 2 days off and before that had 3 days off. So you've got a rested Wild team, who I think is better than the Oilers anyway right now, taking on a Oilers team that is playing their fourth game in 6 days, heading back home after a three-game road trip. And we're getting plus money on the Wild here. So we'll go with the plus 135. You get plus 137 there. I like it even more on the DraftKings odds board there. So give me the Minnesota Wild tonight in Edmonton.
Only the Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, and the Carolina Hurricanes with more points early season than the Minnesota Wild as we sit here on this Thursday morning. Okay, to the National Football League, Michael. And Thursday night football tonight between the Browns and the Steelers, where the Steelers are favored by 3.5. You have a creative way to bet this.
I do. Look, I don't really want to bet against this Steelers team anymore. I've lost enough money doing that. I was anti-Russell Wilson when he came in. I was wrong. I guess the moon ball works. Just throwing up these 50-50 shots is what it is, right? We'll deal with that later. But to me, this is a Pittsburgh team that's really struggled in the first half all season. If you look back and you go through their games, they are 3-6-1 money line in the first half. The one tie came against a lowly Giants team. The one time they won by margin was week two. They won the first half 10-0 against the Broncos. If you look at the other two times they won, one of them was against the Raiders, where they were up 10-9 at half. Well, that featured a turnover by the Raiders at their own 30-yard line with about 2 minutes left in the first half, which Pittsburgh converted into a touchdown. And the other one was last week against the Ravens. And if you watch that first half, it took two missed field goals. It took two fumbles by the Ravens to allow this Steelers team to be able to be in the lead at half. If we just had the two field goals made by Tucker, then the Ravens are up at half. To me, it's a great spot here to go in to take the plus 2.5 with the home team, with the Cleveland Browns in the first half. Fade this Steelers team early, which they've struggled all year playing well in this first half. On top of it, this is just a brutal spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers. A physical game last week against the Ravens. Now you got to come back on the road, on short rest, in weather. To me, this is a great spot to go in on the Browns in the first half. I also like the first half under more than the full game under. We've seen this Pittsburgh team really struggle to score in the first half. I'm not sure what Cleveland's going to do to try and move the football today. You're going to expect a heavy dose of Chubb, but he just hasn't looked the same since he came back. So we'll see what they decide to do in our first real weather game of the season. It's going to be snow. We're going to have wind. It's going to be a true AFC or AFC North battle here. So I'll take first half Cleveland Browns plus the 2.5. And then I lean to the under in the first half as well. I may take some Steelers second half in game if they are down at the half and I can lay less than minus 3 overall for the game.
Yeah, wind only supposed to be 11 miles per hour. I don't want to exaggerate the wind, but we will have some other inclement weather, a mix of rain and snow. I am rooting for weather, Mike, just as a fan. I want to see a weather game. I don't know what I'm betting yet. I really don't.
I'm on like my 7th sports book trying to find our Justin Fields prop. Nobody has it up.
Yeah. Let's go to Sunday. Maybe the marquee matchup of the weekend. Maybe San Francisco and Green Bay. I say that sort of like sheepishly. You have a thought on this?
I do. This is two teams that really need to figure it out. I wasn't impressed with what Green Bay was able to do against Chicago last week. And this San Francisco team has now blown four games late in the season or late in the game this season. They need to figure out how to close football games, which is something surprising. But to me, the commonality between these two teams, their defenses just aren't quite as good as what we expected coming into the year. San Francisco really struggled all year. We don't have Hufanga in the back. We don't have Greenlaw at the linebacker position. And now we're seeing it struggles with some of the better defensive players. Bosa injured late in that game. We saw him struggle to get through early against Seattle. To me, this just sets up for an over. And this is another game where we were targeting that weather game, right? What's it going to be like in Green Bay late November? Well, guess what? It's going to be like 45, 5-mile-per-hour winds, sunny at kickoff. So the weather not going to be a factor here. I think both of these offenses have success against overrated defenses. I was surprised we were able to get this in at the over at 47.5. I was expecting this was going to be 48.5 or 49. So happy to play the over here with two offenses that I think have success against defenses that are currently overrated in the market. So let's go over here, Green Bay and San Francisco, 47.5. Two teams that know each other well as well. If we rewind back to the playoffs last year, this was a clear over game. I think we're going to get another one on Sunday.
That's the late 425 Eastern's kickoff, 425 Eastern kickoff. There is one other 425 Eastern kickoff on Sunday. It is also, this one is actually a tilt between two NFC West teams, the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Mike, this is a straight pick'em at this point. Nobody knows. Complete pick'em here between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. What do you got?
Well, I hope Crack knows because he mentioned it earlier. He's on Seattle in this spot, and so am I. I like the Seahawks quite a bit here. I thought they played really well, specifically on the defensive side of the ball last week, coming out of the bye against the San Francisco team. And it was a very interesting bye for the Seattle team as well. They cut their leading tackler at linebacker the week before the game. Their center literally walks out of practice and quits. It feels like we're starting to see some of this Mike McDonald influence on this team, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, getting the players set up that he wants. And that offensive line gets both of their tackles healthy last week for the first time all season. They'll be back again this week against an Arizona team. And if you look at that Seattle game last week and when the offense struggled, look, it was with Bosa in there. And when Bosa was able to make hay rushing the passer and getting to Geno Smith, well, this Arizona Cardinal team, they don't have anyone like Bosa. Their pass rush, non-existent. This should be a great situation here for the Seattle offensive line to be able to hold up against that Arizona defensive line, and then Geno to be able to pick apart that Arizona secondary with all three of his weapons. You flip it around to the other side. I think Mike McDaniel's starting to figure out how to get this defense cooking. It's a team that I thought was going to get better as the season went along, specifically because of the defensive upgrades we're going to see during the season. And I think we saw the first part of that last week against San Francisco. I think that keeps rolling here. Other part of this, when you look at Arizona, you look at their schedule, you're kind of unimpressed with what they've done so far and how everything has broken their way in a lot of these games. I think we're going to start to see this Arizona team regress just a little bit. I think Seattle is the right side here, so I'll take Seattle, pick them this weekend, taking on the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, let us review Michael's bets here. Mike Somich, who is, of course, the co-host of Ready, Set, Bet on the weekend, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday with our buddy Matt Brown, and then Sunday it's from 8 to 11 Eastern. Once again, in hockey, Mike is all about the Wild tonight, plus 135 versus the Oilers. Then the NFL, he's got the Browns first half tonight, +2.5 points. And then on Sunday, the Niners Packers over 47.5. Seattle is his play against Arizona in that big. They're all big in the NFC West, where the entire division is separated by one game, with Arizona having a one game lead over everybody else. Before you go, Mike, this is what I really wanted to ask you, because last year, you know, Aaron Schatz is about to be on the Megapod when I go record the Beating the Book podcast momentarily. He's the founder of Football Outsiders. He now works at FDN. He's the creator of DVOA, granular level, every play in the NFL. And last year, his numbers were telling him that the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, the 2023 versions, were two of the greatest teams ever during the regular season. And you steadfastly refused to go with that. And you're like, look, until I see differently, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs will always be my number one team, always number one ranked. Do you feel that way this year too?
I do. I think the Chiefs are the best team in football when it comes to playoff time. And I realized what we saw last week in Buffalo could cause some concern for people. It kind of felt like the Chiefs weren't quite throwing their fastball. You saw 28 routes run to Kelce, just two targets. They weren't even really trying to get him the football. I'm not saying the Chiefs didn't want to win that football game. I just don't think we saw the really good plays from Andy Reid. And it's interesting, Matt and I had this discussion. I have a different power rating set for the Kansas City Chiefs when they are playing good teams and when they're playing bad teams. I have a different power rating set for the Chiefs in the playoffs than I do in the regular season, because right now you can't argue that the Lions should be the number one ranked team. Baltimore probably should be number two. Kansas, Buffalo, you could even say should be number three. But come playoff time, I can tell you my ratings are going to change. Kansas City is going to be the number one rated team heading into the playoffs as long as we don't see a major injury.
All comes down to 60 minutes in January. By the way, Schatz has the Lions through 10 games, this year's Lions, as the third best team of all time. 2007 Patriots, 1991 Skins, this year's Lions. How about that? Thank you, Mike.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni from noon to two. Stormy welcomes in our buddy Matt Brown on the show today, and Matt might have himself a little announcement.
He might have some news.
Yeah, maybe Stormy will announce it for him.
Yeah,
we don't want to jump the gun on that.
Nah.
All right, Money Moves from noon to two, followed by Prop Points with John Hansen from two to three. Make It Rain with Adam Schein from three to four. That's coming up on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Positive announcement, I guess you should clear that
up. Oh, yes. Yes. I shouldn't say it. It's a very positive announcement.
Yes.
I don't want to make it. That's right. Whatever you say that.
I just clicked in my brain. I'm like, yeah,
it's a good thing. No, seriously, it's a good thing. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Rouse. This is an apolitical tweet to LeBron and others. This isn't an airport. You don't have to announce your departure. Exactly.
You know what? This has gone so far over the years. I'm actually irritated with people getting irritated about people announcing that they're going off social media.
I disagree. Okay. I think it shows a tremendous amount of arrogance to, you know, make such a big deal about your departure. Just depart then.
I completely agree with that. I just don't think we need to comment it on every time. People are idiots. Let them do whatever they're going to do.
Jason Ice Cold Gambler showing me a restaurant bill. Where the total amount was $454, and the suggested tip percentages are like 50%, even though they say they're only 20%. That's terrible.
Oh, the part I got distracted on there was the seating charge or whatever that was on it.
Oh, yeah, there's a, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Yeah.
But apparently 20% of 454 is $242, according to this bill. T for three. Now that we're a nation of free thinkers, I would like to say freely, I think LL Cool J is not given enough credit for how important he was to the growth of hip hop. Listen, here's my theory on that. He was just not political enough, right? He was just doing, you know, stuff.
Stuff.
I Need Love probably is most impactful. Slow jam hip hop song of all time, probably above all of his other hits. Brandon Kyles, we might have to have ourselves a Kelly Tennis Gill F1 driver name pronunciation off.
Ooh.
Hey, since Kelly's not listening, just me and you talking, was I that bad on the pronunciations?
No, I actually think you were pretty
good. I'm sorry.
Good.
Oh, hey, when did you get here?
Yeah, I think you were pretty good.
All right, Jeff G. Gentlemen, I understand that ANG is not a trend show, but I'm sorry, I've got to mention this trend. FYI, Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, has never had a losing season. If the Steelers win tonight, that streak continues.
That's right.
Okay. Rick Ollier, what's the story with the rooftop viewing opportunities for the race this weekend? If I reserve a spot, will I be able to sit next to the Delicious? Thanks in advance. Maybe. I don't know if she's going. And Hoops by Hoots, good thing about Todd giving out a no-chance loser live on air that we can hear him go off about it in 5 minutes on the Megapod later. Yeah, that was bad. And then James, when is the Moonball drinking game supposed to start? Because I'm going to be hammered by the end of ANG.
Hell, I was going to say, I think I've said drink at least three times on air already today.
People like the Moonball, which brings us to our G-Bank best bets of the day.
Auctioneer style,
really a record here. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Here are mine from earlier in the week. I'm on the Ravens, -2.5, Monday night at the Chargers. I'm on Norman Powell. That's Norm Powell to win most improved player. The ticket says Norman, though, 18-1. And I added two exact matchups. We should get rid of the word exact there because people confuse it with exacts. But these are matchups in the Super Bowl. Chiefs-Lions, 6-1. Ravens-Lions, 9-1. I also have the Colorado Buffaloes, -2.5, this weekend against Kansas in college football. You, sir.
I've got nothing except for what I've played in the NFL already. Lions, Niners teaser, probably mixing in the Texans in the teaser. Eagles -2.5 for me.
Zach Cohen on the Raptors plus the points tonight. He's on Miles Bridges over 22.5 points plus rebounds. Chris Paul over 24.5 points plus rebounds plus assists in the association tonight. He's on the Browns plus the points in Thursday Night Football, and he's taking ASU, Arizona State, on the money line in college football. The Crackman had a play. He's on the Seahawks.
That's right.
Versus the Cardinals, the rare Bill Krakenberger play. Seahawks +1. Right now it's a pick'em. Nick Whalen from RotoWire. He's on the Pistons against the Hornets as a pick'em tonight. Jalen Duren double-double. Steelers-Browns under 37. He's going under the total tonight. And the Eagles this weekend, he is laying the points with the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike Somich, Samo bombing. He's on the Browns first half tonight, +2.5. Niners, Packers, over 47.5. He's on the Seahawks, like the Crackman is in that game against the Cardinals. And then in hockey tonight, he's on the Wild, +135, the Minnesota Wild against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. I believe that covers. Oh, no.
No, it doesn't.
What am I thinking
no,
about?
No, it doesn't.
Phil Bobbitt's F1 Las Vegas Grand Prix bets. Charles Leclerc at 3-1 to win it. Carlos Sainz at top three. Top six, Sergio Perez. Top 10, Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen, both at plus 125. Then in his matchups, he's got Leclerc over Lando Norris at plus money. Franco Colapinto over Liam Lawson at plus 125. Valtteri Bottas over Lance Stroll at plus 150. And then Kelly's favorite, safety car, no.
No.
That's a big fat no at plus 215. And those are your best bets, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. The GBank Visa signature card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply.
Sometimes you just got to appreciate greatness. That was like Jordan flu game right there. You ready? We're not done yet.
No, we're not done yet, because ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in. I got no more radio stations. No, I got to come up.
Oh, we had a couple people tweet in. I dropped the ball again. I'm such a bad producer.
This guy's got one job.
I know. Jeez.
One job. Someone come and tweeted in with some in Seattle.
I was
right?
going to say, there was one in Seattle, yeah. And I'm blanking on it already.
Here are my top 15 NFL power rankings, where it really all kind of cleared up this week, didn't it? Lions remain at number one. Ravens, despite the loss, remain at number two. Chiefs, despite the loss, remain at number three. But the Bills are the big mover for me, Kelly. They go to four. Highest Bills ranking I've ever had. Four.
Not high enough, buddy.
Packers go down one. Niners go down one. The slow Niners bleed. Down to six. Eagles go up to seven. Texans go down one to eight. Commies go down one to nine. Steelers were the second top 10 appearance in my power ranking. Steelers remain at 10. I know, Steelers fans. I get it. You're good. But let's not get crazy. Vikings are 11. The biggest difference between my rankings and Aaron Schatz's DVOA are the Minnesota Vikings. Do you know where he has the Minnesota Vikings?
Like ranked? Fourth or something?
He has them at... Boop, 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 boop. He has them at third.
Both him and PFF have the Vikings.
Fourth. He has them fourth. Pardon me. Fourth.
Yeah. Both of them. Actually, no. The PFF are not as high. They are ninth.
Fourth. Aaron has them fourth in DVOA. That's amazing to me. Got the Vikings 11th. Cardinals are 12th. Broncos, welcome. You're 13th. I got to give it. Once again, Sean Payton, Bo Nix, golf clap. Chargers and Bucks remain 14 and 15 for me. Those are my top 15, with the top three remaining the same.
Same 15 teams for you? Because me and you both shuffled around a lot, but I was wondering that.
Same 15.
Yeah, I did the same thing. So my 15 teams didn't change, but as you can see, a lot of movement on the board of where teams fall.
Yep.
Lions won for me. Bills up to number two, Josh Allen. The god of football now.
Oh, that's not... Broncos were my first entry into top.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah. I'm sorry. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bills to number two. Ravens, three. Chiefs go to four. Both those drop down a spot. Eagles up to five. Texans up to six. They jump three spots. Gil, I want to say this is... for the vast majority of the time we've done power rankings this year, except for the past couple weeks, this has been my top six for the most of the season. So we're kind of right back where we started from of how I'm viewing those teams. Steelers, the biggest jump. I gotta give them the respect. Up five spots, up to number seven for me. I never know where to put the Vikings, back to your point. I just don't know.
I don't either.
I got eight. I put them at eight, though. A little respect for what they've done on the season so far. And then it's Niners-Packers, which we talk about, right? Like, the ceiling is so high with both of them. I believe that both of those teams could be so great.
Mine is a bleed. Yours is more of a hemorrhage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. So, but Niners, Packers there, Chargers, I got to keep moving them up with what they've done. Up to number 11, they move four spots up for me this week. And then everybody just a slight tick down, Commanders down, Cardinals a little down, Falcons a little down, Broncos remain at 15.
I think the interesting thing is, and by the way, I'll because Aaron Schatz is coming on the Megapod, I have him in front of mine on this. His top 15 is our top 15 as well, but his are really different,
right?
Again, with the Vikings being the most glaring of those. What it basically, though, tells you, like the macro statement of this is, it can't be that controversial, because 16, he's got the Bengals, so do I. 17, it's the Seahawks, Rams, Falcons grouping.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, with apologies to New Orleans and Indianapolis, who end up his 20 and 21st, it's just a complete dive into the abyss. And then it gets into those 10 teams at the bottom, which we were talking about when it came to fewest wins yesterday in that market. Literally, those last 10 teams, maybe really even the last 11 teams, are just miserable. He's got Miami as the 11th of those miserable. We didn't include Miami in the discussion. But other than that, that's where the league just goes down dramatically, precipitously.
Can I give you Pro Football Focus's top 15 teams that are not in ours? Okay, and a little surprise: Falcons all the way up at fifth for them.
Stop it.
Seahawks are 10. We do not have the Seahawks right. Neither one of us. And the Colts are 15.
Whoa, what are they doing?
Bills are 14th.
They have the Falcons 5th
and the Bills 14th.
They're watching these games at all, or is that just a just curious? Stormy and Matt are next. Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.